Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
This is Sunpod, my name is Michael and I welcome you to episode 262 of our podcast. Ivan Jawlenitski grew up in Canada and in 1987 he went to Lesotho in southern Africa where he started working as a high school teacher. 1 year later he built his first solar cooker. I met Ivan at the Consulfo 2020 conference in Faro, where I was lucky to hear his inspiring story and see his solar parabolic trough cooker, which his wife uses every day to bake bread.
My name is Ivan Jawlenitski. I grew up in Western Canada on a farm, capital-intensive farming. I always think about it now. You know, we grew up thinking that the way you succeed in life is just obliterating nature. And then somehow, by turn of events, I applied to World University Services of Canada and was sent to Lesotho as a high school teacher in 1987, mm-hmm. not really knowing what I was expecting. But, you know, in Lesotho, I discovered permaculture and I discovered solar cooking. Mm-hmm. There was a German teachers at the high school that I was at, and one of them gave me the plans for a U-log solar cooker. This is in 1988, something like that. So with my students, we made a little solar cooker out of some clay and bricks and a piece of glass. It was just fixed in against the wall. And lo and behold, that thing really worked beautifully. I mean, we put a pot in there, and it was summertime. The angle of inclination of the glass was fairly flat, and I could see, yes, this thing works. And at the time, we were facing these awful streaks of dry weather where we'd have hundreds of days of clear weather. So that got me to thinking about how we could build a really a good solar cooker. There was a professor of engineering at the National University of Lesotho who I chanced to meet. I didn't know very much about physics and stuff at the time, but he gave on a few offhand remarks. He said, you need a glass area of around 1/4 square meter and you needed 100 millimeters of insulation. And with that, we went back to the shop. I had fairly good shop skills, learned to weld, and I made a very, what I thought was a fairly nice solar cooker at Bethel High School for myself. And actually that solar cooker changed my life because I was really into working and doing what I was doing as a teacher at the high school, but I found that I wasn't eating well because I didn't have enough time to cook. Mm-hmm. But after I made myself a solar cooker, it was a box cooker. It had it would rotate on the azimuth and with a 30-degree angle, and it worked like a bomb. Mm-hmm. So that was my introduction to solar cooking. And we're still basically making solar cookers with that identical model. It works well in that climate. It's durable. It's meant to stand outside. You don't have to take it in or out.
It is a metal cooker?
It has a square tube interior skeleton to give it strength. Because sometimes, you know, you can get these terrible winds. So it has a very thin interior skeleton. And then it's meant to rotate and it's mounted. And it has a clamshell configuration reflector that closes down in case you have a hailstorm or wind. It closes for the night for rain. Rain doesn't get into your insulation. In the morning, you open it up, turn it to the sun, and it cooks. And I've always liked cooking, and I discovered that you could cook nice food for a person every day with a minimal amount of effort. We had these nice in black enamel speckled pans that we grew up with in Western Canada. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of those sent over, and really the solar cooker saved my life, you know. The other thing that happened at that time is just, again, these things are very offhand. I discovered permaculture. I went into the Peace Corps library once, and I found these original Permaculture 1 and Permaculture 2 by Bill Mollison and David Holmgren.
Yes.
And I took them back to Bethel High School, And I don't know if everybody has reacted the same way, but I was just delirious. I was just absolutely delirious, suddenly reading about design, about how you could build these integrated systems. Water, food, energy, compact, harmonious, everything working together. Mm-hmm. I mean, also, you know, at that time, I had a good education. I had a master's degree. I used to read The Economist every week. I had a subscription. The World Commission on Sustainable Development had just been published in 1987, you know, the Brundtland Report. Yes. And of course, for some reason, I was one of those people that read that and said, yes, this is valid. You know, we have to get moving. We cannot live otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, those people that wrote those books at that time. And then I got a copy of Bill Mollison's designer's manual mm-hmm. in 1988. And one thing led to another. I ended up staying in Lesotho, and we started a technical school in 1993. And it was very much inspired from all aspects by what I'd learned about permaculture. And again, related to this, I was teaching at a high school. I was a classroom teacher for 5.5 years. What? I was in a classroom like this, mm-hmm. you know, standing with chalk.
What did you teach?
I was teaching English, I was teaching development studies, and I was teaching business. Uh-huh. But what I found, you know, as a teacher, is that all that classroom time was really not very effective from an educational point of view, and not what the situation required.
Uh-huh.
So in 1993, again, somehow accidentally, I met with the director of UNICEF. And I had an idea for practical technical education, where we would be giving people life skills, mm-hmm. construction, agriculture, yeah. water. Yeah. Again, being able to have the capacity to design a life. And you need technical skill. You need to be able to weld. You need to be able to do earthworking, water, plumbing. So in 1993, we started a school at Bethel from scratch, inspired by permaculture and utilizing all of this intellectual inspiration from permaculture and fortunately being able to get it together, building these water systems, energy systems, agricultural systems. Solar energy, of course, was one of the keys. We were at Bethel. We still do not have any grid electricity at Bethel. Mm-hmm. We operate off-grid. And again, over all those years, we've been solar cooking. And then in about 2004, I had an idea for a parabolic cooker, a very large bread baking oven. I just always thought it was something that we could do, get the high temperatures up. And I built a prototype. And again, with a bit of tweaking, it works well. You know, my compound where I live, I have a solar cooker. My wife runs a small solar bakery with two parabolas. Mm-hmm. She bakes 40 or 50 loaves of bread a day and sells it into a local
SK
market.
SK14 style or something like this? SK14 also?
No, that's a prototype. These guys use the prototype that I sent them. I sent them the plans, these people from Tamara. It's a little bit larger than the ones, that the two that they have here.
It is not a three-dimensional parabola,
no.
But a two-dimensional.
Yeah. It's a parabolic trough.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's it.
With a vacuum tube? Or what is
no,
it?
It's not a vacuum tube. It's just
it looks like it.
It looks like it. It's a direct, concentrator.
Uh-huh.
I suppose the other important thing in my life, when I look back on it, somehow accidentally I got a copy of this solar cooking manual from Canada, who a visitor or an intern brought. And at the back of that, there was a questionnaire asking for anybody who had experience with solar cooking to write in and tell them about it.
Yeah.
So I wrote this letter, licked the stamp, put it in the post office. This is 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now sent that off. And lo and behold, I got a letter back, a long handwritten letter back from one Dr. Thomas A. Lewand. who was working at the Brace Research Institute in McGill University. And of course, Brace has been working on arid and dry land since the late 1950s. And one of their focuses was solar cooking. So again, this is one of these surprising coincidences. So, so thus begins this lifelong friendship and collaboration with Dr. Thomas A. Lewand.
Yeah.
He's now retired professor emeritus, but I still correspond with him, and he's supported our work and with great interest.
Where is this McGill University?
In Montreal.
Montreal,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. So we have a at the school, I'm a principal of the technical school now. We have a dedicated solar energy program. We build solar cookers. We deal with solar water heaters. Mm-hmm. We produce about 150 kilowatt hour of PV electricity per day. We produce about 6,000 to 7,000 liters of solar water, heated water per day. And then we've got several solar cookers on the campus operating every day.
Uh-huh. The campus is in a city?
No, it's in a rural area, Bethel Mission. It's a Roman Catholic mission.
So it's more like a village.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've somehow survived all these years. We started with 10 students. Right now we have 250 students, and with other projects we have over 30 employees.
Mm-hmm. And what you described now, was it only used locally there, or did it spread, or did you send impulses into Lesotho?
No, that's a good question. A year and a half ago, we took a parabola to Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're a Soul Train partner. Soul Train is a thermal solar energy program. It's an initiative of the Austrian Development Agency. We've been the Soul Train partner for Lesotho since 2012.
Uh-huh.
In phase two, then there was phase three, and we've recently begun phase four of Soul Train. We had a group in March of 2019 from Mozambique came for 2 weeks of training. We also had in 2018 a group from Botswana came. They were interested in solar cookers and the parabola.
Mm-hmm.
So we built a parabola and a solar cooker
mm-hmm.
with the faculty from the University of Botswana.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I mean, decarbonate, we were talking now at coffee. You know, I think as this issue of climate change and of really the pressing necessity of decarbonization worldwide
mm-hmm.
Gets onto the agenda and people really understand it intrinsically, the sector will grow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most important thing. I mean, it's to change the attitude and to have the reason permeate general cultural population so that it becomes an aspiration, and then,
mm-hmm.
then it will take off.
Yeah.
You know? It's not a question of having the right technology. It's having the right mind. And I say that's something that we just, as much as we would like to see it, it's not something that we can force.
Yeah.
But I think it is emerging right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Clearly. Do you think the solar cooker is a tool for rising consciousness about this?
Obviously. You know, if you came to my place, like last week, it was just blistering hot.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was baking bread all week in the parabola. She
mm-hmm.
didn't have to use a backup oven at all. And every day, the kids from the high school come. In 2015, on Earth Day, I think it was, or 350.org
mm-hmm.
had a climate day of action. We made free pizza
mm-hmm.
for kids.
Yeah.
So we put on the notice board, and we served pizza, I think, to 200 kids, all baked in the parabola. Small
yeah.
kids. It was free pizza day. And the reason we do that is just, I'm just trying to plant the seed in their mind
yes.
for these kids.
Yes.
And they walk past those cookers every day. And, you know, hopefully one day these kids, though, there's some of them will be very, very bright. They'll go to university. They'll become decision makers, leaders. And that's the change that you can hope for.
Mm-hmm. You said you started with a box cooker, and did others see it and maybe copy it, or said, I also want one, or did you, were you alone with this?
No, I think there is uptake. I say we're fighting a cultural battle, of course, of what modernization and of what, you know, a typical middle class lifestyle is. So I cannot say that I think we've won that one yet, but I think we will win that. We will win that struggle.
What makes you optimistic?
Oh, I just see the change. I see people interacting on social media. I think social media is an extremely powerful force. It's encouraged me. You know, I think 10, 15 years ago, before we had social media, a lot of us felt completely alone and isolated. Mm-hmm. You felt like you're just some madman doing your own thing. But suddenly you see people all over the world doing this. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I did a webinar here, I think, several months ago on solar cooking. I attended a webinar run by the International Solar Energy Society. And they said that it was something like 360 megawatt. Solar cooking globally.
Oh, yes.
So I was flabbergasted by that number.
Yeah.
And you see just enormous uptake of solar cooking. Also other thermal technologies, solar water heating in India and China.
Yeah.
We don't even know to what extent it's going on. But I really see it as being something that people will embrace as a positive lifestyle, like eating properly or exercising or looking after your health. I think just solar cooking is just one of those things. And also, in these hot climates, one of the things I always talk about, what on earth do you want to have a stove on inside your house on a clear day?
Yeah.
So for that reason, you know, I really love solar cooking. I mean, when I wake up in the morning, when it's just a regular thing. You think about how you're going to cook your food that day and to use a solar cooker. Safe, clean, convenient.
Yeah, yeah, of course. How have you come here? How did you learn about the conference?
How did I... That's a good question. Where did I first see Ref? Probably on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Through Facebook, there's several people that I've been following and just sharing messages with. There's a lot of enthusiastic people in the United States, and I think that's where I saw it. I mean, I saw Bernard Mueller, who you've mentioned now on Facebook. I mean, he's always there enthusiastically supporting solar cooking, and there are solar cooking Facebook pages. I say the World Wide Web has opened up lines of communication which we've never dreamt of. I say that's a good thing for all of us.
And why have you come here, and what do you expect?
Well, I'm making a presentation on this parabola that we mentioned, and also sort of a bit broader themes of what we do at the school. I was supposed to come last year, and then I canceled it very late, and you know, I think there's enormous room for all sorts of technologies. I see we import solar water heaters ourselves commercially as a school. We run a few businesses to sustain ourselves. Mm-hmm. And one of the company that we import water heaters from, they make a beautiful large diameter RAN tube.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a good technology. So the next time we import a container of solar water heaters, we're going to get a few boxes of those glass tubes as well. They also sell a cooker, but I think we can create more value by just buying the tubes from them and building the, you know, small box cooker around the glass RAN tube. I mean, I say that I think it's a very broad field. There's lots of room for innovation. I also bought an induction cooker recently because my house is off grid. Mm-hmm. Not a huge system. I've got a 3-kilowatt inverter, but on a clear day, it runs that induction stove beautifully. I mean, once you get a pot up to boiling, you set it at 200 watts, and it's just simmering away there. So I think induction cooking is also a very interesting clean technology, which should be promoted. Mm-hmm. It has its place alongside other technologies.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to mention?
Well, I'm just happy to be here. I mean, I've gone to many, many conferences, and I've already, just in the last hour or two, I really feel so happy to be among other people that share the enthusiasm. So I'm just glad I came for that reason, because I say some of us are scattered all over the world, and yeah. Sometimes you don't have that commonality, that sense of community that you need to be able to sustain yourself mentally, psychologically. So I'm glad I came to this conference.
Fine. Thank you a lot.
Okay.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe. Durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen. Entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.